Welcome to Your Ultima Life Podcast, where we help you break free from mediocrity and create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Get your free video series at yourultimatelife.ca.
Hey there, welcome to today's episode of Your Ultimate Life. Welcome to Your Ultimate Life. You know, the first thing I'm going to do is talk a little bit about this dude, or maybe it's a woman, I don't know, somebody back there taking a journey. And they look like they got out a backpack and they got a walking stick and they're facing a big mountain. And, you know, the colors are all orange and yellow. And I don't know what that means. Could mean fire, or it could mean sunset or sunrise. Could mean lots of things. But let's just talk about the journey that they're on. You're on a journey. So am I. And here's the fun part. You get to decide how much fun the journey is. You know, I used to so not understand that and certainly not believe it, because I thought that the journey, the joy was determined by how the journey went. Meaning, was it easy? Did I fall down? Was the mountain too steep? Did I get hungry? Or did I run out of supplies? Or did I twist my ankle? Or I'm using all, you know, hiking a hill metaphors, but things that happened, I thought, oh, okay, that decides if it's a good journey, because if grumpy stuff happens and it's not a good journey. And I used to think all those things are outside my control. Oh, I twisted my ankle, or oh, those rocks fell down, or I was walking down a slippery, you know, rock slope. And all those things were externalities. And that was what was going to decide if I had a good journey. Reminds me of a time when I was way back in Boy Scouts. I was 12 or 13 years old, and we went on a camp that summer. And it was a wilderness camp. So it wasn't to a regular Boy Scout camp. Did that a time or two where, you know, they have buildings and mess halls and, you know, that sort of thing. This was just a straight up wilderness camp in the Sierra Nevada. And so it was just our troop and a couple of leaders. And the troop was, I don't know, maybe 15 boys, 12 maybe. I don't think there were 15. But anyway, it was some, you know, they had some trail maps and stuff like that. And so they kind of knew where they were going. But it was pretty rough climbing here. I was stumbling over my words, and it was difficult. And there was one time there where I got far behind, and then I felt like I was lost. Now, I don't know if I was really lost or not, because there was a trail, and I had every reason to assume that the rest of the troop and the leaders were just further up on the trail. But anyway, I got panicked. I got lost. And so I was screaming at the top of my lungs the names of the other scouts and the leaders, help, help, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And that went on for 2 or 3 hours. And then I got to this one place on the hill where I saw the trail go over this way. And then I was up to my right, and down the hill was kind of a steep, slope. And the rocks were all broken up. In other words, very slippery rocks. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. You can step on them and they can all slide. And it was quite deep snow. It snowed there a lot. And so the continued freezing and thawing caused the rocks to all break up. And so it looked like, you know, landslide stuff. And for some reason, I believed, and I don't remember the details now, but I believed that I needed to be at the bottom of that. And it was faster doing that than going on the trail. So I started down this steep landslidey kind of stuff, and I went down it, and it took a long time, and I was scared, and it slipped a lot, and I fell down a lot, etc. And so that by itself turned, oh, that was a horrible, scary, terrible thing. And for a long time, that was a terrible, terrible memory for me. Now, I found them. They found me because I was screaming my head off. And, you know, the rest of the week, that was, I think, on the second day, and it was 7 or 8 days. So the rest of the days went fine. And I have lots and lots of stories from that camp out that taught me lots of lessons, but that's not for this one. This one is the journey was scary for me. Now, when I look back at that later, like now, I look back at that and I realize I wasn't even really lost. There was a trail. If I'd kept following the trail, eventually I would have caught up because they would have stopped, or they would have seen I was not there and they would have come back along the trail. Right? And so the truth is I was not lost. Another truth is navigating that really steep, slippery, rock slippery thing taught me some lessons. It taught me a lesson in care, in panicking, in planning a little better, watching, you know, watching where I was walking and stepping. It taught me about calmness because I was panicked and shouting, and, you know, all that combines together to equal disaster. So there was a lot I learned about that journey that I now know in retrospect that at the time seemed very real and threatening and present for me. It's interesting how our lives do that. You know, it's things that happen around us and we feel like they ruin us or ruin the day or ruin the event or ruin a year. And when we look back at them later, it doesn't seem like that. You know, we learn some different lessons. And here's what I say. I said, well, you know, those difficult things, they either ruin us or they refine us. Now, if you're not watching the video, I'm switching my hands from one side to another. Ruin us or refine us, like a switch, on or off. And often they do both. An event that ruined us to start with, later with different perspective, can refine us. And that's how I think about that trip down the hill. Today, I titled this 10 Tips for Prosperity and Joy. 10 Tips for Prosperity and Joy. And you know where these came from? These tips came from these experiences. Like, your life has been full of experiences that may have been hard at the time, but if you look at them with a different set of eyes, they refine you, ruin you, or refine you. So I'm going to share 10, I call them tips, 10 ideas, 10 thoughts about how to create prosperity and joy. So let's get clear about what that is. Prosperity certainly means cash, monetary things, you know, having stuff and money. But it also means prosperity of soul, prosperity of relationships, prosperity of happiness. Prosperity, the word itself, means to have an abundance of something. Prosperous endeavor, meaning successful, you created stuff. Right? Okay. So, and joy is pretty self-explanatory. It's a deep state of lasting happiness. So prosperity is bigger than just wealth, cash, and joy is bigger than just being happy. So I'm going to give you 10 things that I have learned over my different walks down hills, and whether they hurt me at the time or not, about how to create prosperity and joy, deep and lasting. Tip number one is expectations. Expectations. Examine your expectations. Now, this has been a real bugaboo for me because I always want everything to happen fast. And I want it to happen without too much pain. I grew up for decades with depression, struggling with self-loathing and not believing I was good enough and thinking I was a disaster and I never would be okay and everybody hated me and all the things that everybody has some of in their lives, some of us a lot, some of us a little. And I struggled with that for decades. And at a monumental level, it led to really, really dark places through the years. But the tip is this: examine your expectations, especially the unspoken expectations, because expectations are the source of most conflicts. Two people go into a situation. You expect someone to behave a certain way or to say certain things or put in a certain level of effort, and they don't. So a mismatch in expectations causes friction, causes a problem. The different way to do it is to get agreements. So speak out. This is what we're doing. This is what I'm doing. This is what I believe you're doing. Do we have an agreement? So clarify roles and ideas and thoughts. That works with two people. It's powerful in intimate relationships, you know, with your partner. It's powerful with kids. It's powerful with employees. You can have expectations, but you have to clarify them, speak them, have them spoken back, get mutual clarity and understanding so there's no misunderstanding, and then get agreement. Is this what we're agreeing to? This is how we're going to do this. So examine your expectations about any situation, small situations, big situations. Examine them. Look at them carefully. Is this what we mean? This is what I'm, you know, doing, you're doing, etc. Get clear and then get agreements. Are we agreed? And the agreement not only is performance, but timing. I'll do this by this time. You'll do this by this time. Another piece of agreement. If anything gets in the way of that, we'll talk. So those kinds of agreements manage expectations, right? Another way to look at expectations is if we expect life to be easy and all organized for our benefit and ease, you're in for massive disappointment. Life is not built that way, for me, for you, for anybody. So again, managing your expectations. Tip, and then get realistic, like really. Make agreements where it makes sense with others and manage your own expectations. So that is a tip to get prosperity and joy. Number two is just called starting. I know so many people. And the reason is because I talk to lots of people. I met two brand new people today. Never talked to them before. Love it. I love doing that. I set up my life and schedule so I get a chance to meet lots of new people. Why? I'm a coach. My commitment is to help 250 million people, you, achieve a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, to declare your purpose, discover your purpose, claim your purpose, and then use it to create prosperity for yourself, cash, fulfillment, and deep and lasting joy. So because I talk to a lot of people, I ask about these questions. What's your goal? Who are you? What do you love? What are you trying to accomplish? How do you view yourself, etc.? And people always talk in the future, not always, but often talk in the future tense. Well, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. Or I could do this and I could do that. And those are all conditional. I could do this or going to, they're future based. Tip number two is get started. Starting is like the massive key. I don't care if you make mistakes, start, fail forward, fail fast, start. I might say it five more times. Yes, start. Take the first steps, take action. I don't mean do stupid stuff. Don't jump off a cliff unless you know you're jumping off a cliff and you mean to. But get started. So many dreams are lost in the, well, I could do this, I could do that idea phase. Get started. The phrase that I use is ready, fire, steer. Ready, aim, fire doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Things change too fast. There are too many variables and too many unknowns. Yes, you have to do a modicum of reasonable planning, but oh, there's so many people that they think they're not done planning until they're guaranteed straight line success from beginning to end, and there's no such thing. Get started, tip number two. Number three is to ask yourself a question. This is the question. I wonder what is possible. Now, there's a real easy thing that can happen, and that's getting contaminated with negative opinions of others. Getting contaminated with, oh, you'll never do that. No one's ever done that. Are you kidding? What are you thinking? What are you trying? Others might say that to you, or you might say it to yourself. Oh, how dare you? What are you imagining? Who are you to do that? Those aren't the kinds of questions that I'm talking about. What is possible is an intentional activity to get past traditional thinking, traditional beliefs. I wonder if it's possible to fill in the blank, build an app. I wonder if it's possible to create an app that. So I'll tell you how this came up right now. Joy and I, earlier today, we were in a Asian store called H Mart. I don't know what it stands for, and neither one of us had ever been in there before, but we'd heard about it. It turned out that it was an awesome bonanza. It was amazing. Just food from all over different countries and just a big and unbelievable selection and stuff like that. So we're definitely going back because we like trying new things. But that wasn't the what is possible question. Here is that. As I wandered up and down the aisles, many of the products came from the countries. Korea is the aisle we spent the most time in, but I noticed it in other countries. There was a Filipino aisle and a Korean aisle and Japanese and Chinese, and there were more aisles that I didn't see. They're the ones I can remember, probably Taiwan and others. But anyway, the packages were in native language. So I'm going, yeah, and there were all these spices. And Joy said, oh, we could buy these spices. Yeah, we could, except for, I don't know. And some of them had small print English and French. In Canada, you have to have both. But I couldn't see any other language on some of them. And so here was the question, the what is possible question. I said to Judge, I wonder if there's an app where you just open your camera and you point it at a language, a word or a phrase in a language, and it translates it for you. Now, I don't build apps, and I'm not planning on building that. And there may already be one or two or 10, I don't know. But it was the idea of, I wonder what's possible. I wonder if there's an app that. Asking that question is a ticket to prosperity and joy. Number four, examine your beliefs. Now, that might be related a bit to the ones we've talked about, expectations and so forth, but this really is getting into your own heart. What do you believe about yourself? We all grow up with stories of weakness, frailty, failure, I can't afford this, not good enough, too late, don't take too many risks, you know, that kind of language, to either a lesser or a greater degree, depends on your experiences, your childhood and your parents and your community and culture and all the rest. So if you're trying to create prosperity and joy and things are difficult and it feels hard, what are you believing about yourself? If your day or hour or life in your mind is full of, ooh, I'm scared. Ooh, what if I fail? Ooh, that's probably hard. Ooh, what will they think? Ooh, what will it look like if I screw up? You know, that kind of thing, then your heart is full of beliefs and doubts. Well, examining those is number one. And with that, doubt your doubts. Like, how do you know you can't? How do you know it's too late? All of those kinds of beliefs are based on the past, and they're based on somebody else's idea, either your own experiences in the past or someone else's conversation. Someone else failed. Someone else tried it or looked like they tried it or whatever. So take the opportunity to examine your beliefs about your own capability, yourself, your possibility. That is so critical. So that's number four. Number five is a choice to have patience. And we live in a download and double-click world where we expect everything to be solved in the length of a TV sitcom. You know, the world's most complex problems, 30 minutes. Actually, it's only 22 broadcast minutes. Or maybe if it's really bad, it continued and then there's two episodes, right? Nothing worth doing is solved like that. So patience with yourself. Patience with the growth process. I've told the story before of the orange tree I had in Phoenix. It didn't produce fruit the first year. Why? Citrus doesn't. If I didn't know that and I'd gotten upset and yanked it out and thrown it away, I would have wasted all that fruit that came later because I didn't have patience. So patience with yourself, patience with others, patience with the learning process about what needs to happen, patience about your own skill development. You know, I've been working on my voice, singing, because I perform as a vocalist for years with a vocal coach, getting better and better and more confident. And I can feel the growth and feel better and better, et cetera, et cetera. But that, if I gave in to the impatience that is my innate thing, I want a shortcut, I want the fast track, you know, come on, there's got to be a faster way. Well, there might be, and there's nothing wrong with looking for hacks and shortcuts. But delaying work or getting frustrated with growth because you can't find the hack or shortcut that cuts 30, 40, 50% off, you'll never get there. You'll always be looking for a hack and you'll be saying, I will be happy when. That's a recipe for disaster. So patience is number five. Number six is kindness. Now, you may be thinking, wow, we're getting way out in the woo-woo land, and we are. But I can tell you, when you're doing something difficult, you're doing something new, if you're trying to achieve higher levels of prosperity, making a bigger difference in the world, you know, when I know is that you, right here, right now, have the ability to make massive income, cash, and massive impact, changing, blessing, lifting other people's lives. You do. Maybe you're doing it, maybe you're not. But I know most people either all the time or often think, you know, I really want to do more. I want to have a bigger footprint in the world. I want to create more benefit. More. I want to do more. And from that comes, I want to have more. I want to get paid more. I want to have the opportunity to lift and bless and serve more. We're built like that as people. Well, in the process of that work, there is always failure. Failure. So we talked just last about patience. This one is about kindness because failures come and they're going to come. Your opportunity is to make a choice to be kind. Now, there may be times when someone intentionally is trying to hurt you, damage your project, sabotage you, or undermine what you're up to. But that is not usually. Think about public speaking. One of the principles I learned about speaking in public is that people in the audience are not looking for you to fail. They visualize themselves up there frightened, and they're rooting for you. Yet we sit there and think, they're going to laugh at me, I'm going to look stupid. So kindness, that is a conscious choice to show love to those around you, whether they're succeeding or failing, and actually, more importantly, to be kind to yourself. You're the one trying to create prosperity and joy. You're the one trying to add good to the world. You're the one trying to do a new and difficult thing. That's you. Well, that deserves recognition and applause. So be patient and kind. So patience was the last one. Kindness is this one. Be kind to yourself. Harsh criticism, that noisy inner critic, turn it off. It doesn't serve a single purpose. It's not a motivator. It's a demotivator. Okay, you can always examine things and say, what could I do better? Of course, but do it in kindness. No one feels motivated by criticism, by attack, by ridicule. Not you doing it to yourself or to others. The seventh one is perseverance. Nothing good, like this, again, this picture behind me of this person, I was going to say dude, but who knows, this person climbing those rocks, that's going to take some perseverance. That's going to take, you know, climbing a little ways and resting, climbing a little ways and resting, and maybe get on a slippery slope like I did in that story, and you slide down the mountain, and you got to either crawl back up the shale, the slippery shale, or find a way around it. But you know for sure what happens when you quit. You're done. You're dead. Beep. So perseverance, again, is a choice. It's a choice to never give up until you get to the goal. That doesn't mean you don't rest. Of course you rest. You might reevaluate and take a different path or retool one of the processes you're doing. That's fine. That's just evaluating and making improvements. Perseverance is a choice not to let inevitable setbacks take you off the path. It's an intentional, courageous decision to keep going till you get to the top of the mountain. Perseverance. Number eight is interesting. It's optimism. Now, people often don't really understand what optimism is. And the opposite is pessimism, only people don't like being labeled or thought of as pessimistic. So they say instead, well, I'm just being realistic. Nonsense. Here's what optimism is. Optimism is a choice when you look at a situation to believe there is a way. Captain Kirk in Star Trek VI was sentenced to a penal colony on an asteroid. They did mining underground, and he was sentenced there, and, you know, the whole story I won't tell, but go watch Star Trek VI if you care to. But anyway, he was approached by an alien down there and who asked him, and of course, the penal colony was escape-proof. No one had ever escaped. It was 1,000,000 degrees below zero on the surface and a bunch of stuff. But anyway, this alien came up to Captain Kirk and said, do you want to get out of here? And Kirk looked at him and said, there's got to be a way. Okay, so that is optimism. It's a choice to look at a glass and not just say it's half full instead of half empty. It's to look at it and say, there's got to be a way to fill this up. There's got to be a way to finish it. There's got to be a way to overcome this problem. It is a choice to believe there is a solution. It is a choice to believe that you, with help and with searching and with effort, can find and execute that solution. So optimism is a learned behavior, and there's a real benefit to that. There was a study done, I think it was called The Art of Learned Optimism or something, but it's by Dr. Martin Seligman, and he did a long study, 20 years or more, of a group of people, and here's what he discovered. And there's a lot more detail to this study, but I'm going to paraphrase it, that people who choose optimistic points of view, meaning not Pollyanna, not stupid, not ignoring facts, but choose to believe there's a solution as opposed to choose to believe it can't be done, live longer, like not a few minutes, but years longer. They tend to make significantly more money in whatever profession they're in, So in the boardroom, it matters. They live longer, so that's health. They make more money. I said that. More money, more position, more health, more joy in life. Their relationships last longer. All kinds of real positive, tangible, measurable things just because they choose to look at every situation with the idea that there's a way here. There's a way to solve this problem. Adopting a habit of optimism is powerful and important. It's called learned optimism. Whatever your habits may have been, however you grew up, you may have been bashed around a lot and told a lot you can't, it won't, you know, negative stuff. You can learn new habits. Your brain is plastic. Neuroplasticity is the fancy word for that. That just means you can rewire your habits. So if your habit is pessimism, rewire it. Choose to believe that there's got to be a way. And I wanted to say one thing about this business of realistic. Some people choose to say, well, I'm just being realistic. That's just a lame excuse for pessimism. Realistic means I'm going to point out to you all the problems and how difficult those will all be. Meaning, effectively, I'm going to show you that it can't be done, and that's realistic. That's a euphemism for pessimistic, so nonsense. An optimist isn't ignorant of challenges or hurdles. It is a choice to believe there's a possible way. That's optimism. Number nine is another woo-woo and way out there, and that is forgiveness. Remember, we're creating prosperity and joy. Prosperity is an abundance of money, relationships, love, kindness, fun, all of that good stuff. Forgiveness is a key part. You make mistakes. Maybe you do dumb, unkind, cruel, selfish things. I did my share of those as an addict. And, you know, you've heard the stories if you've listened to the episodes or if you've read the book Tightrope of Depression. Forgiveness of others and forgiveness of self is not a nicety. It is mandatory. Because if you carry grudges or anger around toward someone else or self-loathing, self-hatred around toward yourself because of things you've done, all that does is limit your ability to perform. It limits your ability to create. It limits your happiness. It makes you less than you could be. So again, we're talking prosperity, which is an abundance of things, and joy, which is deep-seated and long-lasting happiness. Prosperity and joy cannot be attained without learning how to forgive. Forgive everyone everything. It's not your job or mine to extract justice. And I'm not saying people that break laws shouldn't have consequences. And, you know, if you're part of that legal process, that's fine. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the energy, the hatred, the anger, the bitterness, the rage, the rah, rah, that a person carries in your heart. And there's a saying, you know, failing to forgive someone, carrying a grudge is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Every minute you carry anger or grudge toward yourself or towards others, you're drinking poison, quite literally. There's another book called Anger Kills, and it was by a doctor, and I've forgotten his name, but you can look that name up. And he did another large study and found that people that live with this kind of anger lose 10 years off their lives, 7 to 10. It was a large number, not a few minutes. And the reason's simple. The neurotransmitters associated with anger are poison. They're corrosive. They're negative. They hurt you. Forgiveness is key to create prosperity and joy. The 10th one is service. Now, I think it's Zig Ziglar, but it might be someone else. And it's been paraphrased in many ways. It says this, you can have anything you want if you help enough other people get what they want. Fine. You can help people get what they want because you think you'll get what you want. I found it's a lot more fun just to love and serve. I found, this is my personal observation and observation of many people over the years, that you and I were happiest when we're loving and serving each other, when we are in love and service to our fellow beings. And you know what I hear when I ask people, why do you do what you do, or what do you want to do, or what do you want to create? It always, 100% of the time, well, I love helping people. Well, we do, we're built that way. We love the feeling of making an assist. Like the Oilers won the hockey game last night. I live in Edmonton, Alberta, so our hockey team won a game last night. And you know what they keep track of? They keep track of goals, who made the goals, but they also keep track of assists, like who set it up, who made that last pass to get the goal done. And they do that in basketball and maybe other sports too. Choosing to be of service is such a joyful, happy blessing. So be of service, and you'll find prosperity and joy all the time. So those are the 10 tips, and I want to give you a bonus one, and I'll give you that in just a second. But what I want to do right now is invite you. If you haven't gone to www.yourultimatelife.ca, go get the free stuff. Free 5 master keys to creating your ultimate life. Go get it. If you don't have it, why not? It doesn't cost any money. It's going to cost some work, but it's not going to cost any cash. So go get that. And I'd love to connect with you. So if you'd like to connect, reach out on Facebook and tell me you heard podcasts and you'd like to connect. I love meeting people. I love you. I love what you're about and every good thing you're trying to do. The bonus one is this. It's never too late. Never, ever, 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 ever too late. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what's happened to you. I don't care what the struggles have been. How many times you've been bashed down, kicked around. It's never too late to matter. It's never too late to have a big impact and add good to the world. It's never too late to create for others and for yourself the ultimate life, the prosperity and joy. Purpose, prosperity, and joy. It's your birthright, and no one can keep you from it. And no one will do it for you. So take these 10 items, plus the bonus one. Go get your free stuff, www.yourultimatelife.ca, and move forward with all your power and love to create your ultimate life. Open your
heart, and this time around. Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you take it deeply into your heart and decide for yourself how you can create anything you desire. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback and topic suggestions. Until tomorrow, this is Your Ultimate Life with host Kellen Flukiger. Stand with your heart in the sky and your